Would you please stop using that excuse? It makes no sense. There's no logic to that. If we were to report, Mitt Romney said this, most conservatives would say, yes, but Obama said that. So what? It has nothing to do with what Mitt Romney had to say. What don't you folks get about that? I don't get that. Jeff, you're just finding out that Granholm's going to be speaking in Charlotte. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I mean, it just got officially announced.
I'm on their mailing list. I got to tell you something. As you know, Anthony and I are going to the convention. Every day I get an email from the convention folks that gives you a list of speakers. Now, I would have to add them up, but I can't fathom at this point how they're going to fit them all in. I'm serious. The convention's 3 days long, and the list of speakers, unless they're only giving everybody 5 minutes, goes on and on and on and on and on. And I'm sure the Republicans are doing the same thing. Of course, they don't cover conventions like they once did. You know, you used to actually get it on TV gavel to gavel, and thank God they don't do that any longer. But I do enjoy the primetime stuff that they do. I do. And again, I told you I'm going to be watching as much of the Republican convention as my schedule will allow me to. And I'm certainly going to DVR some of it. I want to see what's going on. I want to hear what's going on. I truly do. But I just it's just so funny because every time I turn around, the Democrats are announcing another list of speakers. This morning I got another list of like 10 speakers that they're going to have at the convention. Where they're going to fit them all in is beyond me. All right, very quickly, before we have to get to the top of the hour, Stephen Monroe joins us now. Morning, Steve. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony. I'll just comment on what you're commenting on. I think just like it might be possible that he's not tithing the correct amount to the Mormon Church, it might be possible that Barack Obama doesn't release his financial records from college because part of it was paid with drug money. I mean, I'm just suggesting. I'm not making an explanation.
Steve,
I'm just saying it might
be true. Steve, sometimes I just don't know where the hell you're coming from, but you know what?
It might be, Tony.
But you're starting to sound like one of them, and that scares me. Steve, have a good weekend. I really don't know. You know, I don't, Steve, I don't get you anymore. I really don't get you anymore, his drug money to pay for college. Sweet Jesus. One's called a lie. The other one's called what? The truth. Sweet God. All right. Joe DeSoto on the other side. At least we'll have a little sanity in the 8 o'clock hour. Sorry we had to end the 7 o'clock hour that way. Stay with us. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. It's going to be a beautiful day today. Try to enjoy it. We'll take the break. We'll be back right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, I'm actually not doing too bad on your drive. Just have these trouble spots that we're looking out for. The Lodge northbound at the Southfield Freeway, accident is partially blocking the ramp there. Still got that accident investigation on Mound Road southbound at 696. And 75 northbound, just after West Road. They have cleared that disabled vehicle, but still got stop-and-go traffic from Gibraltar Road. And on M59 eastbound, just after Elizabeth Lake Road, one lane is blocked. That's due to that building fire from last night. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 89. Tonight, a low of 64 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny and 90, and it's currently 63 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is next.
is Isaac expected to develop into a hurricane and could hit the Tampa area on Monday, just as the Republican National Convention gets underway.
We're going to be watching what we call the fetch. That's the area of wind over the water. And with the direction of this and certainly where it's heading in a good part of this cone, that could mean shoving the water up into Tampa Bay.
Air tankers and helicopters being used to try to tame a massive wildfire in Northern California. 64 homes and 20 buildings destroyed. Rupert Murdoch's Sun tabloid has become the first British newspaper to defy the royal family and print pictures of Prince Harry cavorting naked in Las Vegas. The Sun's managing editor says the pictures could already be seen by hundreds of millions on the Internet. And in Norway, Anders Breivik has been declared sane and sentenced up to 21 years in prison for a bomb and gun attack that killed 77 people last year. This is NBC News Radio. Lance Armstrong is being stripped of his 7 Tour de France titles. The superstar cyclist has chosen not to pursue arbitration in the drug case brought against him. Travis Tygart, head of the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency.
He will be immediately disqualified from all events that he participated in from August 1st, 1998 forward through the present. And he will be permanently banned from any future competition.
Researchers at the University of Pittsburgh working on a vaccine for the West Nile virus. This year, there have been more than 1,100 cases reported in 38 states. Texas hit the hardest with over 20 deaths. A teenage girl reported missing more than 2 years ago tells police she escaped a home in southwestern Illinois where she had been held captive and repeatedly sexually assaulted. Police have arrested a 24-year-old man and his mother. They also recovered the teen's young child, which the girl said was the result of a rape by her captor. And in Florida, Casey Anthony, now a free woman after completing a year of supervised probation for check fraud. I'm Jim Mikleshevsky, NBC News Radio.
With over 900,000 products and 31 diverse product categories, Grainger is basically an anything you need supply buffet. We've got everything from safety and electrical products to hardware, hand tools, and more. So you can efficiently purchase exactly what you need from one source, saving time and trouble. And just to be sure, the buffet thing was a metaphor. Please don't eat the stuff. Buy your supplies smarter. Just call, click Grainger.com, or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, John, how come there are no hot dog vendors out here? Is that just like preseason or something?
No, it's because you're in my living room.
Oh, right. That new TV is a serious upgrade.
Get close to the action at the ultimate football experience at Sears and save $100 on a Samsung 40-inch 1080p LCD TV, just $449.99. Plus, get a $25 reward card. This is game-changing. This is Sears. While cards last in store only, in the event of a return, card will be deducted from refund. Offer ends 8/25/12. See store or sears.com/football for details. Prices may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
The whole debacle that was Facebook's initial stock offering is giving another big social player some pause. Fox Business reports Twitter is reevaluating when it wants to go public in light of the Facebook mess, and now could be a full year away. Stock in Facebook has lost more than half its value since debuting on Wall Street and ever so briefly moving above its $38 IPO price back in May. Judges in a dozen nations will be issuing rulings in the legal back and forth between Apple and Samsung, each accusing the other of ripping off technology for smartphones and tablets. Today we've heard from a judge in South Korea who has ruled both companies are in the wrong. Apple infringing on two Samsung patents and Samsung infringing on one Apple patent. Both have been ordered to pay damages. Coming up in the hour ahead, the government will post its reading of durable goods orders for July, measuring demand for big-ticket items from aircraft to Zambonis. Ahead of that, S&P, NASDAQ futures, each down 3 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
Watch the premiere of Iron Man, Thursday, August 30th at 9 on the Weather Channel.
To go up on the iron, you know, there's got to be something wrong with you.
Everybody wants to be out there on that beam.
Yeah, big thing in the world.
Guys can see who can do it and who can't.
Just that look in their eye, you know, that fire.
Meet the men and women of Iron Man. Their legacy is in the building.
Mind is self-evangelist. Once you get the real life, actually, it's going to happen.
Iron Man, Thursday, August 30th at 9 on the Weather Channel.
Adults were critical of young Al. His energy was, well, boundless.
His questions were endless. These days, people would call him ADD. In his day, teachers called him addled. But not his mother. In his energy, she saw potential. In his questions, intelligence. Al credited her for all he would do. As he grew, Al was known as Thomas Alva Edison, holder of 1,000 patents, inventor of the light bulb, phonograph, and motion pictures, father of the electric age. This is Howard Butt, Jr. of Laity Lodge. May I encourage you to look around for undervalued co-workers? Who knows what your belief can electrify in the high calling of our daily work?
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning. It is I, Tony Trupiano, just 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday, the 24th day of August, 2012. It is such an honor to be with you. I will remind you that beginning on Monday, that's right, this Monday, we will be extending the show every day by an hour. We will be on till 10 a.m., followed by Stephanie Miller. Yes, Stephanie will be back in very familiar territory. Many of you are so pleased with that. I appreciate you reaching out to me. You should thank the station for making that decision because it was theirs and theirs alone. But we are happy to have the extra hour. Of course, we've got plenty of stuff to get to. Filling that time won't be a challenge. And, of course, having Stephanie back is a gift for all of us. So we'll look forward to that starting this Monday. In the meantime, it is Friday and it is 8 o'clock, and that means just one thing. An intro, please.
With his razor-sharp precision, First Shift welcomes back Michigan's most informed political insider.
Let's go back in the good old Wayback Machine to the 2010 campaign and marvel at how adept the governor was at being elusive on issues. He was allowed to portray himself as a moderate, as a genial, nice guy, nerd.
Partner in Main Street Strategies,
Mr. Joe DeSano.
Mr. Joe DeSano. And those that's because he's earned that, mister. And he joins us now. Joe, a pleasure to have you back on First Shift this morning.
Well, a pleasure to be back. Thank you for having me, buddy.
My pleasure. Truly my pleasure. You know, there's a lot we want to talk about, but I really want to start with the Jace Bulger story. All right, so we're in the summer. They only have two sessions. They'll be back, you know, in about a month. I think it's the middle of September they come back. But you and I both know that leading up to the general, there's not a whole lot of business that's going to go on except stuff that is going to be detrimental to the middle class. My question to you is, if I'm a Republican and I'm asked this question, if, you know, come January, if you retain control of the House, will you support Speaker Bulger again? Will you vote for him to continue his leadership? How will you vote? What kind of response are Republicans giving to that question, Joe?
Well, it's interesting. There's a there's really only two answers that you can legitimately give, yes or no. But you've got a couple lawmakers from Livingston County who have mastered the art of saying maybe. Which actually is kind of a victory for Democrats, really, because if you go back to when this whole election scam became public, and the police report became public, every Republican you talked to said, yes, we're absolutely with Jace Bulger. Now they're moving on to, maybe, which in itself is a victory for Democrats, like I said, but, it's an insufficient answer, I think, for the public. They know darn well that they're going to vote for Jace Bulger in January if Republicans have the majority and Jace Bulger isn't invited. you know, so I actually blame the journalists here for not holding their feet to the fire. And, you know, Gail Haynes also, it should be noted, is the person who is single-handedly blocking the Affordable Health Care Act exchanges being set up here in Michigan. She is the person that is blocking that that committee for taking a vote and moving it on to the House. And Jace Boulder doesn't have the strength of character to demand that this issue be pushed through, which he wants to have done. He's told people that he wants this done. But he won't take on one of his own committee chairs. So, you know, there's some politics going on here as well. Shocking, I know. But these journalists let these guys off the hook so easily. You've got Gail Haynes and you've got Bill Rogers, the brother of Congressman Mike Rogers, saying that they want to look at the information fairly. And here's what one of the legislators says. I'm not sure what my position will be at that time or that of anybody else. We'll have some new people elected to the House. Well, are any of them running for Speaker? Are any of the incoming freshmen running for Speaker? It's so disingenuous.
Well, you know, let's talk, just back up a little bit. From a legal standpoint, I mean, we know that Kent County Prosecutor William Forsyth has said that he will not reopen this investigation. He said it's over. He said lots of things this week. But that doesn't mean that from a legal standpoint this necessarily is over, does it?
No, not at all. In fact, Monday, Mark Brewer can tell you all about the request by Gretchen Whitmer and Mark Brewer to impanel a one-person grand jury here in Ingham County to investigate this, to continue to reopen this investigation that needs to be reopened. I mean, the state police shut this down based on foresight saying that there was no campaign violations. Well, I think you can make a pretty strong case that there are criminal charges to be brought here, and Forsyth chose not to go down that route for whatever reason he had, although I suspect it's Republicans protecting Republicans. And you know, you've got Bill Schuette calling out Warren Schmidt right after he flipped parties. I mean, there is no corner of the Republican establishment in the state that is not implicated in this.
Well, that in and of itself obviously should be raising lots of eyebrows, and I don't know if it's the timing because it's summer or whatever, but let's go back to something you said just a few minutes ago. Journalists, don't journalists have some culpability in this as well, Joe, or am I seeing this wrong?
Absolutely. And the article I'm looking at is in the Livingston Daily. Local small-town journalists don't want to get in the face of local legislators because they rely on those legislators for access to get their phone calls returned. The legislators will often lean on the editors to make sure that the articles come out the way they want. And in a way, the game is rigged almost against these journalists. But I think if you're going to be a journalist, I think you have to find the truth, and you can't let your interview subject get off the hook quite that easy. And so at the end of the day, I think if you're a journalist of integrity, you keep on pushing the issue because these answers are not acceptable.
Yeah, well, this is of course something that we need to continue to keep an eye on. And listen, it's not because I'm a shark and I smell blood in the water and I'm a Democrat and I want this guy. Listen, I've never been a fan of Jace Boulder. You and I, in fact, Joe, let's go back and to the time where you and I were helping Autumn Smith, which we give her a lot of credit for what she was doing to recall him. You know, here we had this young girl, a young lady, you know, really fighting this battle by herself. You know, certainly there was legitimacy to what she was doing. This is a guy that really has not wanted to play by the rules, and in fact really didn't have to because of the supermajority they had everywhere they turned, from the Supreme Court all the way down, sideways, back and forth in any direction you want to go in. At the end of the day, though, we're talking about rule of law here. We're talking about democracy. We're talking about something that should be sacrosanct. This is just wrong.
Well, I think, oh, absolutely, it's wrong. I think you're dealing with someone in Jace Bulger who is, as a result of term limits, in a pre-term limits world, would nowhere be near the speaker's gavel. I think he's pretty politically tone deaf. I think he's incredibly thin-skinned. If you go back and review the texts between Roy Schmidt and Speaker Bulger, they are amusing in how sensitive they are to Mark Brewer. I mean, Mark Brewer owns a huge amount of real estate in these guys' heads, and they are so just reactive and thin-skinned to what Mark Brewer is going to do. And I'm sure Mark loves that, by the way. But there is something here to the rule of law, and I think if there's any opportunity to expose that to sunlight, I think that's the right thing to do. This I was a little bit disturbed by the prosecutor in Kent County saying that he shut down this investigation and made it public before the primary because voters need to know. His responsibility isn't to the voters. His responsibility is to the law and to determine if the law was broken, be it civil, criminal, or election. And he needs to follow that trail, consequences be damned. But instead, he pulled his punches. He told the state police to shut it down, even after a state police trooper said that he had probable cause to believe that perjury was committed. And the state police trooper said that in an affidavit. Yet it was shut down. These guys are protecting each other. And this one person grand jury may be the only chance the public gets to really see if it happens. And that decision is going to be coming up in the next week. When the Ingham County Circuit Court gets together to decide if they're going to impanel the one-person grand jury.
All right, Joe, you got to hold that thought. We got to get to the break. We'll come back and talk more about this. Joe DeSana with Main Street Strategies is my guest. 888-552-3595. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
With Tony Triana.
Congress and I have certainly had our differences. I want to especially thank all the members who took a break from their exhausting schedule of not passing any laws to be here tonight.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, we do have some good news. Mound Road southbound as you head to 696 eastbound. That accident has been cleared from that ramp. Still watching an accident on the Lodge northbound at the Southfield Freeway. It's blocking the right shoulder at the end of the ramp. And we still have one lane blocked on M59 eastbound just after Elizabeth Lake Road. And we got slow traffic on 75 northbound between Gibraltar and Dix Toledo Highway. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 89. Tonight, a low of 64 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny and 90, and it's currently 63 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour. Welcome back, Joe DeSano, my guest. Joe, of course, partner with Main Street Strategies. He joins us every Friday at this time, and we do enjoy ending our week this way. In fact, Joe, my concern is, since we're going an extra hour starting next week, I'm not going to be ending my Friday with you. I don't quite know what I'm going to do about that.
Well, I can move to 9 a.m. I mean, whatever works for you and your audience, my friend.
Done deal. I'm going to take up on that one because I love ending the week with you. I truly do.
Cool.
All right. Well, we made that decision. Very quickly, I thought I'd let you wrap up your thoughts from the last segment.
Well, I would just like to point out that, you know, remember back in the day when then Attorney General Mike Cox declared an end to the investigation of former Detroit Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick?
Oh, yes.
Remember that?
Sure do.
The police told Mike Cox to go pound sand. All right? Now, the GOP prosecutor in Kent County tells them to shut down the operation, and they go ahead. There's right before they were going to get Speaker Bulger's phone records and text messages in the subpoena, right before that subpoena was going to be issued, they got the word to shut it down. Just think about the implications of that for a little bit. And the Republicans need to be very wary of this one-person grand jury, because as I was saying as we went to break, this is the same method that they used to go after the fake Tea Party guys in Oakland County,
right.
2010. Yeah. So there's a recent precedent here. I think that this thing is dirty as a hobo's underwear. and I think there's no question that this is there's some fertile ground here, and just pray that the Ingham County Circuit Court does the right thing and impanels this grand jury.
No, you're right. Let's hope that does happen. And as you said, we'll know that certainly within a week. And by the time we talk to you next Friday, that answer should be clearer, and we should know something, that's for sure. Joe, let's turn our attention now to an article that was in, I believe it was yesterday's Detroit Free Press, on 11th congressional candidate Kerry Bentivoglio. In fact, I was so interested in it, I have actually booked Dr. Syed Taj to join us this upcoming Monday at 9 o'clock to talk about it. But it really gave us a kind of a snapshot into what was already considered an eccentric candidate, to find out that he was quite an abusive educator.
Yeah, he was forced out in the Fowlerville schools, as reported by the Detroit Free Press, by physically slamming desks and threatening students. In fact, he told one of his classrooms that his goal that year was to make sure that at least everyone in the class cries at least once in the course of the year. And, you know, he got up in people's faces, yelled and screamed at them. And some of these children, students made formal complaints, and they kept on adding up. And the school district tried to intercede and help Bentivoglio learn proper teaching techniques. And eventually the thing came to a head this spring, and Bentivoglio was sent packing. There was a financial package in place to get rid of him, and there was some negotiation. But clearly, this is a guy who, I think, if you read these reports, is a very disturbed individual. And what's really kind of funny is that when you read in between the lines, the Republicans in Lansing and Washington, D.C. are terrified that he might actually win.
Well, what I find even more interesting than that is that there are Republicans that have, let's just say, involuntarily endorsed him that aren't walking away from that endorsement.
Yeah, there's a few. There's a few who are out there, including L. Brooks Patterson, who have endorsed him, and but they haven't pulled their endorsement in light of this recent revelation. In fact, I think there's more to come here. I think there's going to be some scrutiny of Bentivoglio's military record that I think will come to light at some point rather soon. A lot of these Republicans who have decided to run with the Bentivoglio train might have some more explaining to do. And, you know, the ironic thing about it is those Republicans are more likely to talk to the press than Bentivoglio is. I mean, he refuses to have any interactions of consequence with local reporters. I mean, Stephen Henderson wrote a scathing column the other day calling Bentivoglio out, and the fact that Bentivoglio is hiding and ducking debates and ducking reporters and refusing to answer any questions at all, I think is kind of terrifying that a person who's submitting himself to zero scrutiny could actually get elected to Congress.
Well, let's talk, and again, you're a strategist, so let's talk a little strategy here, Joe. And the 11th was truly designed for Thad McCotter to have an even safer seat than he already had. Let's just be honest about that. When they decided to redistrict, they certainly built the 11th for Thad McCotter. No question that's what they did. So
right.
It leans Republican. Now, we do know enough about Dr. Taj to know that he can certainly reach across the aisle. He was a Democrat elected in a very as a township trustee in a very Republican area. But he was elected as a Democrat. He certainly can appeal to a more conservative voting base. Does a guy like Dr. Syed Taj have a legitimate shot at grabbing
that
seat? Okay.
Absolutely, and I think Republicans have even conceded that fact. And I'll say this, the Democrats in Washington, D.C. have recognized this, too. And for the last week, they've had a staffer on the ground with the Taj campaign getting them up to speed. So, you know, certainly the folks in Washington, D.C. on our side have recognized the potential here to win a seat. You know, there's three potential seats here in Michigan that are right for the picking in the right circumstances, and that's the first, which is the UP in northern Michigan, the third, which is Grand Rapids and Battle Creek, and now we have the 11th, which is in play, and Dr. Syed Taj passes all the tests that you would put before a candidate to see if they're viable or not. And when you take someone of Syed Taj's stature and compares them to an erratic and I would say somewhat dangerous personality in Mr. Bentivoglio, I think I'll take that comparison and scrutiny any day of the week.
Well, no question, and as this audience will learn on Monday when we have Dr. Taj on with us again, he's been on with us before. This is just a common sense guy. Well, I'll remind people, Joe, he is the former chief of staff at Oakwood Hospital in Dearborn. This is not some guy that's just doing this casually because he's got nothing better to do with his day.
This is a man of great intellect and real achievement. I think he's the right medicine that we need in Congress right now.
All right, let's get we got to go to the break on that, so we'll do that. Joe DeSano with us. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, let's head over to the Lodge northbound at the Southfield Freeway, where they've cleared that accident at the end of the ramp. Now, we got a new accident on 96 eastbound just before the 696 M5 split that has your left shoulder blocked. We got some heavy traffic on 696 westbound between Greenfield and Southfield Road. And you got one lane blocked on M59 eastbound just after Elizabeth Lake Road due to that building fire from last night. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 89. Tonight, a low of 64 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny and 90, and it's currently 63 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
This is D. Alexander Bullock. Join me and Tony Truppiano on August 25th at 12 noon for the Crusade for America Parent and Youth March. We march for an urban policy. We march for a war on poverty. We march to save democracy. We march to stop gun violence. Get active, get engaged, and get involved. For more information, like us on Facebook at Rainbow Push Detroit and follow us on Twitter at Rainbow Push MI.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Washington keeps handing massive bailouts to Wall Street giants and multi-billion dollar annual subsidies to the likes of Big Oil, which is a nice boost to the bottom lines of the one percenters. But these giveaways do absolutely nothing to perk up America's grassroots economy, which not only is where the rest of us live and work, but also is the only place that can generate real national prosperity. Congress can't seem to grasp a basic law of nature. You can't keep a mighty tree alive, much less expect it to thrive, by only spritzing the fine leaves at its tippy top. The fate of the whole tree depends on nurturing the grassroots. Sadly, America's corporate and political powers today are content to be a bunch of leaf spritzers, blithely oblivious to the dangerous shriveling of the grassroots. To witness the damage they're doing, just look at our nation's desiccated minimum wage. Set at $7.25 an hour 3 years ago, its real value has since been gutted by inflation, reducing the wage's current purchasing power to a sub-poverty level of $6.75 an hour. That's only $14,000 a year for full-time work. Not only would increasing it help these hard-working people make ends meet, but it also would provide a direct jolt of nourishment to our overall economy. It's been shown again and again that every dime of a minimum wage hike is spent by its recipients, circulating upward in our local economies as they increase their purchases of such basics as food, kids' clothing, and health care. This is Jim Hightower saying, this kind of percolate-up economics works for the many, not just the wealthiest few, and that helps, at least minimally, to restore a bit of moral balance to an economy and society now being torn apart by gross inequality. For more information on raising today's poverty wage, go to timeforaraise.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock, Joe DeSano again, my guest, and we love having him with us on Fridays, and as we're extending the show by an hour next week, he's agreed to move by an hour next week so we can end our week with him again next week, so we're looking forward to that. Joe, we haven't talked since Paul Ryan was named the presumptive VP nominee for the Republicans to run with Mitt Romney. Interestingly, you generally predictably get a fairly nice bump when you name your vice presidential candidate. That didn't happen with Paul Ryan. We're on the eve of the Republican National Convention, hurricane and all, next week. What does that tell us, or maybe not tell us, by the announcement of Paul Ryan as his running mate?
Well, I think a couple things. I think any time you have a campaign that is looking to a VP announcement as a saving grace, you're looking at a campaign with a flawed nominee in the top spot. I don't think there's any question anymore that that Mr. Romney's likability is not quite what is required to really win this election. I mean, I would just point to the local poll that was released by Channel 4 the other night, showing that, you know, if you ask the likely voter here in the state of Michigan what presidential candidate you would like to have dinner with, 51% said Obama, and 25% said Romney. So there's clearly a likability problem here that extends down to the VP pick. I think Ryan reinforces a lot of the things that people don't like about Romney. And I think at the end of the day, his scary plan to gut Medicare and to gut the social safety net, I think, really kind of mutes any bounce that they would have got.
Well, you know, clearly we look, and obviously there are a lot of polls out, especially this week, telling us where all the candidates stand, and depending on what state we're talking about, what region of the country. I mean, the different polls tell us different things. What I find to be most interesting and probably the most troubling thing for Mitt Romney is where his campaign stands with women. Women, of course, vote in larger numbers than men. I would think that if they get the female vote out, and they, I mean Democrats, get the female vote out, there's no way Mitt Romney can win this thing.
Well, you know, it's kind of strange watching the Romney campaign just systematically tick off huge blocks of voters. You know, they've seemed to have walked away from the Hispanic vote with their crazy convention planks and Romney's previous comments about immigration reform. Then you've got them waging a war on women that, at least here in Michigan, has given Obama almost the entire lead here in Michigan is derived from Obama's support among women. If you look at that recent Channel 4 poll, Obama has an 11-point lead among women. And that was before the Todd Akin scandal broke open this weekend. So you got to think that's got to goose that 11-point lead up a couple more points. And the Romney campaign's response to this is, well, we're going to have to appeal to women on economic issues, which, you know, clearly I think is their only card at this point, because they're certainly not going to all of a sudden become sensitive to females' reproductive issues.
Well, no, we go into their convention next week where their platform will clearly talk and will address the entire female reproductive question, and however you want to phrase it, and there will be no exceptions.
No exceptions at all. They are the American political equivalent of the Taliban.
Well said.
I'm just going to say it. These people are religious extremists who, if they had their way, women would be running around here mandated to wear burqas. if there were no people like yourself and your listeners fighting them, that is what they would do. This would be a religious republic with a elected religious leader.
Well, you know, we face ourselves as we go into the Republican National Convention next week. And you know, I spoke earlier in the day, and you're not too young to remember when the conventions were covered much more thoroughly, especially on the major networks. Of course, the cable networks cover them fairly well, but the major networks used to do gavel to gavel, which they no longer do, and that's probably a blessing for all of us because there's just so much. I was just, in fact, criticizing the Democrats. Every morning they come out with another list of 10 names of people that will be speaking. I think everybody's going to get about 45 seconds. I have no idea how they're going to get them all in 3 days. But with that said, we'll talk again about the quote-unquote predictable bump that each candidate gets after their convention. I'm telling you, I just have to be honest about it, that this Romney campaign has been so unexciting. This Romney campaign has been actually quite predictable that I can't fathom what they can do this week that'll get anybody excited, that'll really push up their numbers in any significant way.
Yeah, I think you're starting to see an expectations game being played. I think you're starting to talk. I've seen a couple of public statements by Obama surrogates saying that they expect a large bump out of the election, or excuse me, the convention. And I think that's playing the expectation games because they know that nothing is really going to move this election, move the numbers really until the last week or so, or you know, there's some kind of factors out there that we're not that no one's aware of at the moment. So I think an expectation game's being played here. I don't think there's really going to be that much of a bump coming out of the campaign or coming out of the convention for Romney. And conversely, I don't think there's going to be any real bump for the president coming out of his convention.
Oh, fair enough, and I was going to suggest that as well. Listen, we know the president's going to give a great acceptance speech, but there's no drama coming out of the Democratic National Convention, nor is there when you have an incumbent in office. You know, that they shortened the convention by one day. You know, they changed the rules of the way they finance the Democrats, by the way, the way they finance the convention. So this isn't going to be as grand as some of them have been in the past. And that's all well and good. You know, when we're going to be,
you know,
there.
I, for one, don't need a staged, spectacle. I think conventions are very much almost a waste of time. I know maybe that's controversial, but I don't see their use. I really don't.
Well, yeah,
you know, have a one day meeting, make your votes, and go home and get back to work.
Well, for a guy like me that's going to actually be there for 3 or 4 days, you know, I might disagree with you a little bit, but that's just because it's going to be fun for me. I'm just being honest. It'll be fun.
That's a pretty compelling argument, Tony.
Yeah, you know, it'll be fun for me. I'm very much looking forward to being there. And, you know, it's interesting because everybody wants to talk about platforms. Like, we don't know what the Republican platform is, and we don't know what the Democrats' platform is. And, of course, we do know all that stuff. You're right, Joe. This is just an opportunity to grandstand by both party and by both parties. And that's all well and good. Could that time be better used elsewhere? I'm sure it can. I always go back to, and I don't know if you remember, and I'm sure you do, the television show The West Wing. And there was an episode where they're meeting with the executives from all of the major television stations trying to justify why they should cover the conventions. And if people have them on DVD, go back and watch it, because I can't imagine that it isn't really exactly how that conversation went down. And I assure you, the networks were saying, really? You want an extra 5 minutes? Not going to happen. They're just not that exciting.
No, there's no inherent drama. And by the way, I'm not a fan of The West Wing, but that's a whole other story.
All right. Well, the next time we have lunch, we will debate the virtues of that statement. But in the meantime, that's that. Let me just ask you, as we were looking at, I saw some numbers this morning on the local news, Governor Snyder's numbers. None of them were above 28%. Likeability, dislike, anything. You name the category, he didn't get above 28%. here we are almost 2 years into his term as governor, and the people of Michigan still haven't figured out who this guy is.
I don't think anyone's really figured out who he is. I mean, we've seen glimpses of who he is. I think at the heart of it, he's a deeply conservative technocrat. He's shown other flashes of independence from the far right wing. So I think he's very much a Rorschach test. You can see what you want to see in him. I'm more interested in who's going to have the stones to take him on in 2 years. So I'm watching that field develop, because I think there clearly is an opportunity for Democrats to seize back the governor's mansion and control that critical branch of government.
Well, there is no question in my mind that the Republicans nationally, statewide, locally, no matter where you want to look, are in search of a new identity. I have no idea what that identity is. I got my hands full just trying to figure out the Democrats half the time, so I'm not going to worry a whole lot about Republicans, Joe DeSano.
Well, I'll go so far as to say this is not a prediction, but it is a possibility that I think the governor may forego a second term.
I believe that as well, and I think Bill Schuette is just waiting, chomping at the bit. In fact, he may not wait for Governor Snyder to step aside. But we'll have to save that conversation for another time, because we're just out of time for today. But, Joe, we'll talk to you at 9 o'clock next week, and thanks for making the move.
All right, brother. Anything for you.
You bet. Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies. Let's take a break. We'll wrap it up on the other side. Stay with us.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now feel free to give us a call before we get out of here in 10 minutes. Happy to do that. Want to remind you once again that tomorrow at noon I will be joining the Reverend Pastor D. Alexander Bullock along with a cast of superstars, Cindy Estrada, Chris Mihalakis, the mayor of Highland Park, and others, as we and Rainbow Push put together a crusade for America. There will be a walk that will start in Highland Park and in Ferndale. If you are available, where you want to go is to the McGregor Library that's located at 12244 Woodward Avenue in Highland Park. And again, it goes to Ferndale. And I'm looking forward to being a part of those festivities tomorrow, and I'm honored that they asked me to participate. Again, remind you that starting on Monday, we will be on till 10 a.m. Stephanie Miller will immediately follow First Shift. Once again, I think it's exciting that the WDTW will have live progressive programming from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, not to mention all of the live programming they have on the weekend. Let's not forget about that. Also, another quick announcement, the Sierra Club will begin their fall educational speaker series on Thursday, September 27th at the Unitarian Church in Birmingham. The first one will be a presentation by Brian Kaufman, who is a videographer with the Detroit Free Press, and Brian will present two short videos. The first one, The Truth About Asian Carp, and quagga, I think that's how you say it, quagga mussels in Michigan Lakes that he worked on along with former Detroit Free Press writer Tina Lamb. He will then lead a discussion about actions we can take to help protect our Great Lakes from these and other invasive species. So we once again thank the Sierra Club for continuing an educational push on environmental issues that are so critical to our understanding, unless, of course, you are Mitt Romney, and what you find is it doesn't matter what the environment may want or need. If there's oil and there's gas, well, we should just go after it. I'm blown away by that soundbite we played a little earlier in the day. I do want to, there is one more piece of sound I wanted to get to. It was actually from yesterday. James Hoffa, Jr., who was on Jennifer Granholm's show on Current Television the other night, talked about the importance of fighting right to work. And I thought that they were important comments and wanted to make sure you heard it before we get out of here today.
What would happen if you had a Romney as president? If you had to tell your members what is the top two things that you are most afraid of if, in fact, they were to be elected, what would that be?
National right to work. The first thing they would do is national right to work. His website says this. I mean, I'm not making this up. He basically says unions are the problem of everything. Now, can you imagine that in this, even his father, George Romney, who I knew, I don't think he would even be for that. There's this idea that these people are radically right-wing, yeah, and they're against everything that we accept. The unions are part of the American society. We play an important role. Business plays an important role. There's a political wing. We are all part of a fabric that makes this country run. They don't accept us as being there. They want to knock us out, and that's what we have to fight. And we explain that to our members. I think we can get that through.
I believe that as well. There is a big education effort that has to go on. Listen, I can't tell you with great accuracy that protect our jobs, protect working families is going to end up on the ballot. The legal fight begins this upcoming week. I don't have a crystal ball on this one. I can't tell you with any degree of accuracy whether or not this ends up on the ballot. Of course, it is my desire that it will. You have over 700,000 people that signed a petition, and it's my understanding another 300,000 petition signatures that weren't turned in. They weren't needed. So let's suspend belief just for a moment. Let's suggest there were 1 million people that signed a petition that said, yes, give us the right to vote up and down, yes or no, whether or not we believe that there should be constitutionally protected collective bargaining in the workplace. It's called democracy. That's all it is. Just like tenure, democracy. That's all it is. What I I'm not quite sure, with the exception of wanting to bust the unions because it doesn't necessarily, usually means more money for management. What the purpose of wanting to defeat this would be. Why would you not want democracy in the workplace? Why would you not want those kinds of protections for your friends, your families, and your neighbors? That's all we're saying. This has nothing to do with just unions. And that's the other thing. The media has done a horrible job of painting this as a union-only issue. It is not a union-only issue. It is a family issue. Every family in the state of Michigan should be able to have a constitutionally protected right to bargain in their workplace. It's that simple. That's all that this is about. But, of course, it gets complicated by those that want to scare you into believing that it's something that it isn't. And listen, the Republicans have been very good at one thing for many decades, and they know how to use fear. They know how to scare, and they are very effective at it. It's unfortunate, but it happens to be true. It's disappointing. Listen, as somebody that really cares deeply about democracy, somebody that cares deeply about our country, somebody that's been an activist for many years, somebody that has spent exhaustive hours reaching out to constituencies, talking to people, listening to people, being a part of the discussion, trying to be a part of the solution. It's daunting. There are days that it's daunting. I say to myself, my God, what more do we need to do to make this country work the way our founders wanted it to work? I'm all for fairness. I'm all for negotiation. I'm all for listening to all sides of an issue. But at the end of the day, this word that we have called compromise seems to have disappeared from the political landscape altogether. That should scare you, not as a Republican, not as a Democrat, as an American. The lack of compromise that we now have in society should scare the bejesus out of you, and it does out of me. I got to tell you, and I said this earlier in the program, I'm going to say it one more time. Folks, the answer to everything that I say isn't, but Obama said this. That's not the answer to everything. The answer to, or the response to everything that Mitt Romney does isn't, but Obama said that. It's not. We have to address the issues as they present themselves. If Mitt Romney wants to drill in Anwar, we know President Obama doesn't. There's the difference. It doesn't have to be, but he did this, but he said that, but she said this, but she said that. That doesn't solve anything. And you know what? It occurs to me, if you stop and think about it, when we dialogue that way, when we put it that way, what we're doing is denying ourselves the right to a honest and truthful debate. And the reason that people don't want to debate honestly and they don't want to be truthful is because the majority of people will always favor the truth. That'll do it for us for this week. We'll be back on Monday with our new hours. Want to thank Anthony and Jeff for everything. You are an amazing audience. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, folks, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by your Motor City Mini Dealer.
Checking your rush hour traffic, let's head over to the Lodge northbound at the Southfield Freeway, where they've cleared that accident at the end of the ramp. Now, we got a new accident on 96 eastbound just before the 696 M5 split that has your left shoulder blocked. We got some heavy traffic on 696 westbound between Greenfield and Southfield Road. And you got one lane blocked on M59 eastbound just after Elizabeth Lake Road due to that building fire from last night. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Another day, another traffic jam. It's time to shake up your routine with a Mini. Get a Mini Cooper hardtop for $199 per month on a 36-month lease. So start using your time to customize the Mini that will liven up your life. Visit MotorCityMini.com for details.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 89. Tonight, a low of 64 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny and 90, and it's currently 63 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
This is Detroit's Progressive.